What I wanted to do tonight was I wanted to take just kind of one aspect of what we were talking about this morning, and I just wanted to go a little bit further in that. And tonight what I wanted to talk about a little bit more was one of the points we were discussing this morning was maintaining a thankful heart. Maintaining a thankful heart is key, and it's critical for us to be overcomers. Can you say amen to that? It's not natural for us to have a thankful heart. How many of you know you have to train your kids to say thank you? What did you say? Thank you, not just yep or whatever. It doesn't come natural for us to be grateful and to be thankful, although that should be fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But it's so key that we do not give in to the enemy's strategies to suck us into and be influenced by spirits of negativity and spirits of criticism and spirits that would try to of ingratitude and unthankfulness, because we know in with the children of Israel, it brought a stop to their progress, and it was a blockade that kept them from the promises that God had for them. And so maintaining a thankful heart. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments about that. They're passing out some scripture sheets, and we're just going to go through a few scriptures. And I've asked Stephen to set aside about the last 10 minutes of service, because we're going to take about the last 10 minutes of service tonight, and we're going to dedicate it to giving God praise. We're going to dedicate it to bringing the sacrifice of praise, to pivoting our heart towards thankfulness, regardless of what our situation is. So at the top of your scripture page tonight, what I kind of named this little talk that we're going to have is pivot to praise. Pivot to praise. No matter what our situation is, spiritual maturity tells me that what I've got to learn to do is to pivot away from what comes naturally, pivot away from what everybody else is saying, pivot away from what the enemy would have me to see, and I've got to pivot to praise. I've got to pivot to praise. And if I will pivot to praise, it will give God a doorway to come into my situation and to come into my circumstance. So I want to talk to you for a few moments about thanksgiving and praise. And I know they're slightly different, but you see them combined all throughout the word. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. And I'm not going to do a theology lesson on the difference between the two, but how many of you know that praise will flow out of a heart of thankfulness? Praise will flow out of a heart of thankfulness. And so I want to go back for just a minute and talk about a thankful heart. And what we read this morning in Acts 27 was that in the midst of the darkest hour, when there was no physical reason or there was nothing that Paul could see when he was on that ship, when sun, moon, or stars hadn't been seen for days, and all hope that they were going to be saved was gone, it was in that moment that Paul pivoted to praise. He pivoted to thankfulness, and he chose to give thanks. In verse 35 of Acts 27, it says, Paul took some bread, and he gave thanks to God before them all, and he broke off a piece of it, and he ate it. Paul understood. He had the experience. He knew that the moment demanded that he take our eyes off the problem and get them on the problem solver. See, the scripture tells us that we're to magnify the Lord, not magnify the problem. And when we're in the midst of a tough situation, what happens is the enemy wants us to look at the situation when God is calling us to look at him. And when Peter stepped out of the boat, Jesus said, keep your eyes on me and you'll stay above your circumstances. But the enemy wants us to look and be overwhelmed by our circumstances. And that's easy to do. Has anybody ever done that? It's the natural, normal thing to do. And we have to train ourselves not to do that. But in Psalms 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, everybody say his praise, shall be in my mouth during my prayer time in the morning. Is that what it says? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of, and they will be glad. And this is what he says. He says, this is a thankful heart. This is a heart of praise. Oh, magnify the Lord. with me. Oh, magnify the Lord. What a key principle. If we could just be people that trained ourselves and disciplined ourselves to be people that we magnified the Lord instead of magnifying anything else that's going on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt, let us praise, let us thank his name together. And he said, because I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. A thankful heart knows how to pivot to praise. It knows how to pivot to exalting the King, to pivot to the one who's going to bring the victory and away from the circumstances that I am in. And as we said this morning, you know, realistically, we are oftentimes in situations where surfaced, we could just say, well, Lord, I thank you for my breath and I thank you for the trees and I thank you. But oftentimes in our circumstance that we're believing God for, we're like Paul and it looks hopeless and it doesn't look like there's anything to be thankful for. But it's in those moments that God gave us the key of being able to go back and begin to remember. I can thank God. Even though it doesn't appear to be anything to be thankful for right now, I can thank God for what he's going to do, and I can thank God for what he has done. I can thank God for how this thing is going to turn out, because that is faith, right? Faith sees what God is going to do, so by faith I can offer praise, because I know this season's not going to last forever. See, my faith says this season is not going to last forever. I am not a victim of my circumstances. The enemy does not have the final say. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I can give God thanks and I can give God praise, because no matter what it looks like today, it's going to turn tomorrow. So no matter what I feel like today, and there may be nothing about today that would cause me to have thanksgiving on my lips, but I can praise God by looking at tomorrow, and I can praise God by looking back at what God has already done. How many of you would agree with me that if God never did anything else in our life, we have enough to be thankful for? He took us out of darkness and into light. How many know he's given us an eternal home in the family of God? How many of you know that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus? And that is enough to be thankful for. If my current situation doesn't ever change, I have enough to be thankful for. My heart should be filled with praise because of all that God has done for me. And the scripture says in Colossians 2:7, let your lives overflow. I would say that probably the largest majority of our lives do not overflow with thanksgiving. But Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that our lives are to overflow with thanksgiving for all that God has done. For all that God has done. Just for what he has done to this point. Just for what he has done up until now. Our hearts should overflow with thanksgiving. And then the scripture says in Psalms 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Is he your Deliverer? Is he your High Tower? Amen? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? So because of that, we give thanks. Now I want to take just a minute and I want to jump back over and I want to touch back on a previous circumstance that Paul was in that I just mentioned this morning. But when Paul and Silas had been in prison for preaching the gospel, and for doing what God had called them to do. In Acts 16:25, I want to talk about just for a minute how praise, pivoting to praise. How many know praise is a supernatural principle? Praise is a supernatural weapon. It does things we don't understand, but how many of you know that if we obey God and do what he says to do, he'll do things that need to be done? But in 16:25 of Acts, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises or hymns unto God, and the other prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. I want you to look back real quick at that word, they sang praises. That word in the Greek actually is hymns, but not just any hymns. It refers to what is referred to in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms as Paschal hymns. It was a specific grouping of hymns. I thought this was so interesting. I've never seen this before as I was studying it. And it says that what happened was Paul and Silas began to sing a certain group of hymns out of the Old Testament. It's Psalms 113 through 118 and Psalms 136. And I broke down some of those for us so we could just begin to see that in their situation where it looked like, again, all hope was lost. They were chained to soldiers, four squads of soldiers. They were in the dungeon. This is what began to come out of their mouth. In Psalms 136, 1 through 4, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." How many of you know they weren't in a good situation, but they knew that God was good? And they begin to open their mouths and say, "For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." These were the specific hymns that they began to sing to bring praise to God. Now, their circumstances didn't reflect any of that, but they knew something about God that they began to release into their circumstance, into their situation. Now, let me read a few more scriptures. What they did was they began to remember. They began to remember and they began to refresh themselves and they began to recount all of the victories that God had won. In verse 10, they said, "To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And he made Israel pass through in the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever." And on and on and on it goes. And what they began to do is they began to look back as far as they could remember at all of the things that God had done and all of the victories that God had brought in their lives. And they began to release that praise out of a heart of thanksgiving to God and to say, "It doesn't matter what my circumstances are now. I'm going to remember what God has done and I'm going to have a heart of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Look at Psalms 113. These just might be some good psalms to get in the next few days. If you're struggling with having a heart of thankfulness or having a heart of praise, if it's dark and you're in a dilemma, we want to pivot to praise. Psalms 113, it says, "Praise the Lord." These were the psalms of the hymns that they were singing. "Oh, servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be," say it. "The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above everything." Everything that I'm going through, everything that I'm facing, I can offer a praise. I can give him thanks because his name is above every name. His glory above the heavens. "Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high?" Psalms 118. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever." Are you thankful that his mercy endures forever? Can you imagine Paul and Silas in the midst of all of these thieves and robbers and murderers and all of these Roman guards and being in that dungeon and all that? And this is what's coming out of their mouth. And they're saying, let Israel now say his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say his mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in my distress and the Lord answered me. Paul could remember. He said, "I called on him. I remember I called on him. And when I called on him, he heard my call and he delivered me out of where I was at. He brought me into a big, broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I'm not going to talk about why I was just doing everything God told me to do and look at where it got me. Why did God allow this to happen to me? I just don't understand where I'm at. No, I've got to pivot to praise. It don't do any good to dig that hole. It's like digging your own grave. Negativity and all of that. Now, God's not afraid of questions. I can have a genuine, honest, open conversation with God. But you know, at the end of the day, I've got to trust him. At the end of the day, I got to praise him. At the end of the day, I've got to be a person that knows how to give thanks to him and to remember what he has done. Because when I do that, it opens up the door for him to release his power into my circumstance. Verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my song." Can you imagine that? I'm there. Some of us are. That's what I want us to do tonight before we close. You may feel like you're bound by some things. You may feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You may feel like that it's midnight. But in the midst of that, Paul said, "The Lord is my strength and he is my song, and he is becoming my salvation. They didn't see the keys. They weren't trying to figure out a way how to get out of there, but they were saying that he is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die. This thing will not take me out. This thing will not take me out. I'm going to stay on board. I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to keep a thankful heart. I'm going to lift my praise to God. I will not die, but I will live and I will declare the mighty works of the Lord. That was their declaration. That was their song of praise in the dungeon. So the praises of God in our mouth release the power of God into our circumstances. Flip the page over. One other verse I'll give you here from Psalms 118. It's just so good. All of them are so good. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Where is it? It's praise. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Not only does it release God's power into my circumstance, it also releases God's presence in our situation. How many of you know that the presence of God is attracted to our praise? The scripture says in Psalms 22:3 that he's enthroned in the praises of his people. That means he comes and makes himself, he comes and takes up residence. He comes and takes a seat where the praises of his people are being lifted up. So the praises of God brought the presence of God into the prison. Amen? When they begin to lift up the praises to God, it brought the presence of God into the prison. Anytime we'll lift up a praise, it will bring the presence of God into our situation. We can be in some of the worst places and in the worst circumstances, but when we learn to pivot to praise, it attracts the presence of God. Look at this verse here in 2 Chronicles. It's a powerful verse. It says, "The trumpeters and the singers perform together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raise their voices and they praise the Lord with these words, 'He is so good.'" That shows up all throughout the Bible. That should be the mantra of our lives, to say that God is good. God is good. He is so good. And I lost my place. His faithful love endures forever. And look at this, circle it. At that moment, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. But it wasn't until that moment when they opened their mouth and they began to give God praise and they began to exalt his name and to call him good. At that moment, his presence filled the temple. Verse 14, it says, "The priests could not even continue their work because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God." Wouldn't that be good if God stopped all the work on your job because his presence was so thick? Do we need his glory to fill our house? Do we need his glory to fill our homes, our families, our jobs, our circumstances, our lives? It can. If we will be a people whose lives overflow with thanksgiving for who he is, and for what he has done. Amen? So our praise releases his presence into our situation. Don't you know that God is just waiting for us to open up the gate? He's just waiting for us to open up our mouth and to release our heart's cry so that he can come rushing into our situation. And then thirdly, praise releases God's victory over our enemy. How many of you know that praise is a powerful spiritual weapon? It's a powerful spiritual weapon. The Bible says in Psalms 149, and I didn't put this in your notes, but you know the scripture, "Let the high praises of God be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. If we will, then it will execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints, if what? We will praise the Lord. Now, there's a lot in there, and I may not understand it all. I don't have to teach it all, but one thing we can see for sure is that when we will allow the praises of God to come forth out of our mouth, then God can supernaturally begin to work against our enemy. He can work against our enemy. I may not know what he's doing. I may not know how he's doing it, but you know what? It doesn't matter. As long as his victory is being released in and over my situation, I have to make the choice to pivot to praise. It will turn my defeat into victory. And I just want to close with this. Stephen, you can come on up. I want to close with this. It's a very, very common passage of scripture with King Jehoshaphat. But I want to close with this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel were facing something that was, it was too much. It was more than what they could handle. And we come up against those things in our lives oftentimes. Things that are just too much for us to handle. And this is what how Jehoshaphat described it. He said, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great big thing, this great multitude that's coming against us." And some of us are in situations right now in this room that there are things that are coming against us. It's just too much for us. We have no power to turn it around. Now, there are some things that come against us that you know, we can do something about, you know, right? We don't want to lean on the arm of the flesh. But what I'm saying is there are some things that we can do something about, and we can get engaged, and we feel like that. But there are some things that come that we just have no power. There is no way that we can do anything about it. And that's where Jehoshaphat found himself. He said this: "We don't know what to do," but he knew what to do. His declaration was, "I don't know what to do," but he had learned what to do. How many of you know? He said, "I'm going to pivot and I'm going to put my eyes on you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to magnify the Lord and we're going to exalt his name together. I'm not going to magnify this opposing army. They're big and they're too much for us, but I've got to turn away from that. If I keep my eyes on that, I'm going to go down. If I keep my eyes on what's coming against us, it's going to take me under. I've got to pivot off of my problem to the problem solver, and I've got to get out of the natural, and I've got to get into the spirit, and I can't handle things the way that I feel and the way that I see things. I've got to turn over here, and I've got to operate out of a spirit of faith, and I got to walk in the spirit, and I got to see it through the supernatural, and I got to set my eyes on Jesus. And I got to say that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in and through Christ Jesus." When God is for us, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on, who or what can be against us. I'm going to put my eyes on you. I'm going to put my eyes on you. How easy it is to keep our eyes on our circumstances and our situation. And the more we look at it, it's like quicksand. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, it's like bait, right? It's like cheese to a rat. You know, our circumstances, our bad situations. It's like, you know, we can't, you got to look over there. It's like my trash can to that raccoon on my back porch that he keeps coming every night. He can't stay away. It doesn't matter what I do. He's moving my trash can around, taking the top off, doing everything. But that's the way our circumstances and our situation are. Our natural man, it draws us to it. But the more we focus on what we have no power over, it's like quicksand. It will pull us down. It will sap us of our strength. It will rob us of our passion. It will begin to cause doubt and unbelief to rise in our heart. So we can't stay focused on it. No matter how long we've been Christians and no matter what we know, if we stay concentrated on the problem, how many of you know it's going to take us down? What we've got to do is we've got to pivot to Jesus. We got to pivot to the one who has the answer. We got to begin to lift up our voice and cause our voice to come into agreement with what God says about the situation. Have you ever been in one of those situations where maybe you had been sucked in by the situation and you had been groveling and you were in it and you had done thought it every way to Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if this and that, and what about them? And if they're saying this and all these, those are called, right, strongholds that we got to pull down. But to the point where the Holy Spirit's pulling and tugging and saying, you got to change your outlook. You got to change your confession. You got to begin to line, you got to begin to let your words line up with my words. And just to try to say what God says about my situation is like climbing Mount Everest. I can't hardly get it out. God is going to win this thing. God is going to overcome this thing. The enemy is going to be defeated, but I've been so focused on the problem. I've been so sucked into the quicksand that the enemy has there for me that I can't hardly get it out of my mouth. But how many of you know that if I will begin to let my words and my belief line up with God's word and God's belief, that's called agreement, and there's power in agreement, and I will come into unity with God. And the more I believe it, and the more I speak it, and the more I keep my eyes on Him, it will begin to pull me out of that mess. And we may not know what to do, but we can keep our eyes on Him. We can do that. We may not know how this thing's going to turn out, but one thing we can do is we can praise Him for what He's already done. And we can believe that the outcome of this thing is going to be what He said it's going to be, not what the enemy said it was going to be. Not what my feelings are telling me it's going to be. And in verse 18 and 19, it says this, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Sometimes we just got to quit looking at what's going on around us. We got to bow our eyes, put our face to the ground, choose not to look at our circumstances. And it says, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of those guys and of the children of the Korahites, they stood up to praise the Lord. They stood up to praise the Lord.